All right. Revelation chapter 4. This is where we'll start tonight. We'll read one verse out of here and then go to a couple other places. Revelation chapter 4. That's the very last book of the Bible, so it should be easy to find. Revelation chapter 4. I hope you've had a good day. I know I did. Some of you got a little sunburn. Some of you, you look a little bit more tired than you did earlier. Some of you, I was told you didn't wash your face or your hair because you didn't want your face paint to wear off. But I'm glad you're here, all right? I'm hearing fewer and fewer pages turning, so I'm guessing most of us are there. I hope you have a Bible or you're near one. We're going to read one verse from Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. Verse number 11 of Revelation 4 says this: Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Don't answer out loud, but tonight I want to ask you this question: Who made you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. I pray tonight that you would open ears and hearts. And Father, I really believe that there are still some young people here that they don't know for sure when they die, they'd wake up in heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help them tonight to understand Jesus is the only way and they must trust you. And I pray for those that have, may tonight you help them to listen carefully, and may tonight decisions be made to follow Jesus, no matter what. And I ask this in and through the name and the blood of my Jesus. Amen. Don't answer out loud. Who made you? Don't answer out loud. Who made you? You know, I like to make certain things. I like to play with Legos. I do. I think Legos are pretty cool. And I had to put them away when I became a man. But now I have two little kids and I can pull them out again and I can play with Legos all over again. I love it. You know what I've also learned to play with? Play-Doh. You know what I'm talking about, right? Play-Doh. My mom used to make Play-Doh out of Kool-Aid. It smelled really good. And you could eat it without any problems. It was great. But Play-Doh, you can make anything you want to out of Play-Doh. But I had two brothers. And so here's the deal. Whether it was Legos or maybe more specifically Play-Doh, if you're not careful, one of my brothers would come over and he'd look at what I had made and he'd do this. You have brothers and sisters that are angels and they've never done anything like that? My brothers would. And, okay, let's be honest. I'd watch what they make and I'd go, because it's Play-Doh. And you can do that. But I've learned this. If I make something out of Play-Doh, I am allowed to squash mine. But if somebody else makes something out of Play-Doh, I don't have a right to squash it. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's why you get upset when you make something and somebody squashes it. But if you squash it, you're fine with it because you did it. Well, if the person that made it is the person that has a right to do whatever they want to with it, then the person that made you has a right to do anything he wants to with you. There are a lot of people who have a lot of different ideas of where humans came from. I have heard some of the most bizarre things. I've heard people say this,
well, all of us are here today because something went boom.
You know, I'm not a scientist, but I learned a long time ago that when something goes boom, things don't get better, things get destroyed. Right? That makes sense. I've heard people say,
actually, we came from monkeys.
You know, watching you all play some of the activities this week, I've kind of wondered that. No, I'm teasing. I've heard people say,
well, we actually came from an amoeba. And the amoeba grew legs and a tail. And it walked on land and soon it became a person.
What? But you know, the Bible, like we heard earlier this week, the Bible is truth. And what God says in the Bible is what really happened. I don't have to guess if it's true or not. I believe it's true because it's God's word. God tells us in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, he says that he made the world. You've probably already heard that this week. That's amazing to me. You realize that the God who lives in heaven, who no man has seen God at any time, that God, he reached into nothing and he pulled out nothing and he made something from nothing. You know what? I can't do that, but God can. God didn't just make the world. He would speak the world into existence. God would make the stars and the sun and the moon. He would make the fish and the animals and the seas and the land. God made everything, including people. God would make the first man named Adam. God would make the first woman from Adam, and her name was Eve. God did that. Then I've heard people say, okay, God made Adam and Eve, but everybody else was just born. Well, God has something to say about that too. Because in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, and verse number 5, God tells Jeremiah, and he mentions it several other places in the Bible, that before you were even in your mother's belly, I knew you and I formed you. Get this. This is so amazing to me. God made you. Now, I may think that, maybe you're a little different, or maybe you think I'm a little different. You know, my ears are pretty small. And my eyebrows don't match my hair. And I scratch my head and I think, God made a mistake. But he didn't. And listen, young person, God made you. He created you. He formed you just the way he wanted you to be. That means the way you look, as well as your personality. God made you. You know, that's a pretty amazing God. It's an amazing God who made you because he wanted you to, get this, exist. God has a purpose and a plan to your life. He didn't make a mistake. My brothers used to tell people that I was a mistake and I was adopted. Listen, whether I was adopted or not, God made me. And I am special to the God who created me. Now get this. God made you. He knew your name. He knew where you'd live. He knew who your parents would be. He knew everything about you. He's your, get this, ready? Number one, God is your maker. And I wonder if God made you and me, then what can God do with you and me?
When we read the verse in Revelation, it's repeated so many times in the Bible, specifically in Isaiah 43 and 44, but God says in the book of Revelation, in that one verse we read, God says, everything that God created, He created for His pleasure. He created for His purpose. He created to give Him glory. You remember that, Plato? If I make something with Plato, I have a right to make it better or destroy it. I even have a right to put it on a shelf and let it harden and leave it there for a long time because I'm the maker. And young person, if God made you, and He did, then God has a right to you. But there's something even more amazing in the Bible about the God who lives in heaven. He's not just a maker. He's also a Savior. You see, God didn't just make people and say, here's earth, have fun. That's what some people think. Most people in the world today have the idea that we're only here for a short time. So while we're here for a short time, let's just have a good time. Be careful. God put you here not for you to have fun, but for Him to get pleasure and glory from you. God is your maker. Here's my question. Is He your Savior? If we go to Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to read you a verse that the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 in verse number 13. Here's what the Bible says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So you know, we've already talked this week, that the God who made you, He knows that you have a problem called sin. The God that made you knew that when you would be born, you would be born a sinner. But the God in heaven, very different from what every or many would say, God in heaven is not a mean God who sends people to hell. Please understand. Hell is a real place of fire. Hell is a real place of torment. But God didn't make hell for people. God made hell for the devil and the devil's angels. But man, Adam, and Eve, his wife, sinned. And God said, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered the world, because Adam chose sin over obedience to God. Now everyone in the world is born a sinner. But the God in heaven who knows you're a sinner loves you enough to pay your penalty for your sin. In other words, God loves you. He didn't just make you, but He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. You remember a minute ago we talked about hell being a real place? It is real. I've never been there, but the Bible talks about a man that has. He says it's a place of darkness. It's a place of fire. It's a place of torment. It's a place where you're dead, but you know everything that's going on. You're not just buried in the ground. God knew the torments of hell. And God sent His Son Jesus to pay for your sin. So you don't have to spend forever in hell. That doesn't sound like a mean God to me. That sounds like a loving God. The God in heaven sent His Son Jesus. Remember what John chapter 3 verse 16 says? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So His Son, whom He loved, whose name was Jesus, came, and we celebrate His birth at Christmas time.
He lived till he was 33 years old, and then he died. Some people would call him a martyr. Do you know what a martyr is? A martyr is someone who dies for what they believe in. But please understand, Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus died willingly because he loved you. Jesus came, and having never sinned or done anything wrong, he would let the men say lies about him. He would let the men arrest him. He would stand in a court that was all created with mockery and lies. They would beat him with their fist. Then they would set up some other lies about him. They would take him before, let's call him the governor. They take him before the governor. And the governor, he'd say, well, I don't see that he's done much wrong. But if you want to go ahead and, you know, hurt him, you go right ahead. They would take Jesus into an area where the Roman soldiers would be in control. The Roman soldiers would tie up Jesus' hand and they would stretch him over a pole. His tiptoes would just barely be touching the ground. Then they would take off his robe and expose his back and his stomach. And then the Bible says that they would begin to whip Jesus with something called the cat of nine tails. This would be a whip that was designed to create the most possible pain and torture to a human. These nine strands of leather on the ends would be bone and metal and glass. And they would take one of the strongest soldiers and he would whip the body of Jesus. And those strands would dig into Jesus' back one way and they would come out another way. The whip would also go around his front. When they were done with him, they would go and rip his beard out of his face. They would not shave him, they'd rip it from the roots. So now it's not just his back, probably his legs, and also his front that's bloodied, but now his face is. Then they would mock Jesus. And in their cruelty, they would take thorns that would grow there in that area of the world. They would not be small thorns like we might find out here in the brush, but they'd be long thorns. And they would wrap these thorns into a crown because they had heard that he called himself a king. And they would set that fake crown, that cruel crown, they'd put it very gently on Jesus' head. They would probably mock him and probably laugh at him. But he sits there all bloody. They would take a robe and they'd put it on his back over top of where he had just been cut open. And all of a sudden his back and the robe, they begin to be one. That crown that they had gently set on Jesus' head, now they would come with a stick, a reed. They'd put it in his hand, pretend it was a scepter. But then they would remove it from his hand. And they would take that stick and they would beat that crown of thorns into his very skull. The thorns would even go into his brain. You say, Mr. Glenn, why are you telling all of this? This is awful. This is gross. Because you need to know what Jesus did for you. You see, either you pay for your sin in hell, or you let Jesus' payment be for you. They would then take Jesus. And before they would usher him to Pilate, the soldiers would grab that robe. You remember that I told you was on his back? And they'd rip it off of his back. And everything that had begun to scab over opened up. Now they would take Jesus back to Pilate, the governor. Pilate would say, what has he done wrong? And they would tell more lies about him. He would say, well, tell you what, I'm going to release a prisoner today. You know, there's this really bad guy named Barabbas. He's a murderer. He's a thief. I tell you what, how about we release Jesus and let him go free? And Barabbas, we'll have him die. And the people wouldn't want that. They said, no, release Barabbas and kill Jesus. Pilate listened to him and he did what they said to do. Pilate then gave Jesus to the soldiers. And Jesus, who was 100% the Son of God, was also 100% a man. So he felt all the pain. Then they would give Jesus the cross. You know, you've seen pictures of it. Maybe you've seen a necklace that has a cross on it. I don't know if they gave Jesus part of the cross or if they gave Jesus the whole cross. The Bible doesn't tell us, and we're really not sure. But whatever it was heavy. And Jesus would begin to walk down the road in Jerusalem, and he would begin to climb the mountain, and it would begin to go up, and it would begin to get steep. And the Bible says that Jesus became so weak because he was man, because he had been so tortured, he fell under the weight of the cross. They would then look at a black man, and they would tell Simon, pick up the cross. Simon would then carry the cross the rest of the way to the hill called Calvary. And Jesus, he would struggle up to the hill. And Jesus, when if you and I were there, if we were to look at Jesus, the Bible will tell us in several places that he is unrecognizable as a human being. You know what that means? I don't know how else to describe it. So please understand, I'm not trying to be funny. But you need to know what Jesus did for you. If you were to see Jesus walking up the mountain, Jesus didn't look like a human. He would look like, hamburger meat. I don't know how else to describe it. He was so beaten and tortured. Listen, he did that so you don't have to go to hell. But that's not the worst of it. They would then put the cross down on the ground. But they didn't have to push Jesus down on the cross. They didn't have to force his hands down on the cross. The Bible says he was like a sheep to the slaughter. He laid his hands down, and they would put large spikes, large nails, through the wrists of Jesus and through his feet. Then they'd pick up that cross with Jesus on it. They'd pick it up and they'd drop it into at least a 3-foot hole, maybe deeper. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that not one of Jesus' bones were broken. But every bone or every joint, every bone was out of joint. That's a lot of pain. But that's not the worst of it. You say, Mr. Glenn, wait. He's been through all of that for me and something else is worse. Yes, there is something that's worse. All Jesus is hanging on the tree. On the cross, he can't barely lift himself up to get air. And they would mock him. They'd make fun of him. They would give him terrible things to drink. Jesus is hanging there in open nakedness on the cross. And then something happens. The Bible says that Jesus says 7 different things while he's on the cross. While Jesus is on the cross, everything around Jesus In fact, around the world begins to get dark. It's not nighttime, it's the middle of the afternoon when it's supposed to be the brightest of all day, but it gets so dark. And get this, I don't care what Hollywood does, it was not a solar eclipse. Here's what happened. Jesus hanging on the cross. Remember I said he did it for you? Jesus took all of our sin and he put it on himself. And when Jesus is on the cross, he is holding, maybe not in his hands, but he's holding our sin. In the Bible, God tells us that God cannot look at sin. So when God sees Jesus on the cross, Jesus' Father, God can't look at his own son because his own son has my sin on him and your sin on him. And so God in heaven turns away from his son, and that's when the entire world gets dark. Because the very worst thing possible was not Jesus dying on the cross, but Jesus taking your sin, your lying, your cheating, your stealing, your disobedience to parents. He took it on him because he's not just your maker. He wants to be your savior. Jesus hangs on the cross, get this, and he dies. Well, a lot of people have died on the cross. What made Jesus different? Well, not only did he have your sin, but when they buried Jesus, 3 days later, he came back to life. No one else has ever done that. You say, what do you mean? Every religion tells you that their leader has died. But I don't have a religion. I know a Jesus who died and is now alive forevermore. When he came back to life, people saw him, he talked to them, and then he would go to heaven, and today he's in heaven. You know why? Because he loves you. He died for you because he loves you. And now he lives for you because he loves you. He wants to be your savior. Some of you tonight, you've listened to the Bible all week. You've heard how Jesus loves you. You've heard what Jesus has done for you. But maybe you haven't understood, or maybe you just haven't cared. But understand, Jesus died for you. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your hair color, it doesn't matter how smart you are or how lack of smarts you are. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. He made you. Remember, he created you and he wants to be your savior. Do you know what a savior is? A savior is a rescuer. Unfortunately, I've had to rescue people before. I've carried people out that have had heat strokes and I've had to do CPR before and those kind of things. I don't like doing it, but I have done it. Rescue people. Jesus wants to rescue you from hell. He already paid your penalty. But if you say, thanks, Jesus, for dying on the cross, but I don't need you, I don't want you, I'm okay, then Jesus says, if you don't need me, you don't need my payment. That means you have to pay for your own sin in hell. But the verse we read in Galatians said that Jesus paid your price, your penalty when he died on the cross. Understand this. Who made you? God. Who died for you? Jesus. Guess what? The person that made you, he didn't just make you. He's not just your maker. He wants to be your savior. And if he's your savior, if he's your rescuer, and you have made one decision, one time, in one person, for one place called heaven, then get this. He's your maker, he's your savior, and he's your owner. That's pretty amazing. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? In other words, if Jesus made you, if he rescued you and you took his rescuing, then understand this. You belong to Jesus forever. You can't ever get away from Jesus. If Jesus bought you, he owns you. And he has a right to your life. Young person, listen very carefully. If Jesus made you, and he did, and if Jesus rescued you because you believed him and you let him take your penalty when he died on the cross, then he owns you. You remember the Play-Doh we talked about? Sorry, it's a really simple, silly illustration. But if I made it, it's mine. If I created it, it's mine. If I put a lot into it, it's mine. And I can do anything I want to it. I can squash it. I can save it. I can show it at show and tell. It's mine. Listen very carefully. If Jesus made you, and he did, if Jesus rescued you, and he wants to rescue everyone, then Jesus owns you. That means that every time I live for me, I'm stealing from God. I'm a thief. Every time I choose to, remember last night we heard in the dark, I choose to do what I want rather than what makes God happy, I'm stealing from God. Every time I make my own choices rather than listening to what God wants me to do, every time I choose to say, well, everybody else is doing it, instead of, well, what's right? What does God say? Then I'm disobeying God. Every time that I'm choosing to do it my way rather than God's way, then God says, wait, I made you. I bought you. I own you. Young person, maybe tonight you're sitting here, and if I were to ask you, hey, what are you going to do when you become an adult? What are you going to do when you can make your own decisions? What are you going to do when, I don't know, when you get older? What are you going to do? For the past 15 years, I have preached to young people every summer in camps. And I ask people just like you, hey, when you get older, what are you going to do? I have heard every kind of thing imaginable. I have heard people say, sell ice cream at McDonald's. Why? I have heard people say, I'm going to be a fireman. I have heard ladies say, I'm going to be a policewoman. I have heard people say, I'm going to go dig dinosaur bones. Okay. I have heard people say all kinds of things. After I ask them, what do you want to do when you get older? I always also ask them this. What does God want you to do? And you know what usually they say? I don't know. Young person, would you like to know what God wants you to do when you turn 30 years old? Yeah? Would you like to know what God wants you to do when you turn 40 or 50? How about this? Would you like to know what God wants you to do when you're 15? Okay, I'm going to tell you tonight. This is so neat. You ready? God wants you to obey him. You said, Brother Glenn, I thought you were going to tell me that I'm supposed to be a firefighter. Maybe. But what's more important than that? doing what God wants. And maybe God does want you to be a firefighter. But maybe he also wants you to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe he wants you to be a preacher. Maybe he wants you to be a missionary. And maybe you're sitting out here and saying, oh, I could never do that. I would be miserable. Young person, listen right up here. The same God that made you and the same God that rescued you, the same God that owns you, says that when you simply choose to do what God wants, he says that you'll have so much joy, it will be overflowing. John 15, that your joy might be full.
You say, but I've seen people who say they love Jesus and they're miserable.
I'm sorry about that. There's an awful lot of people that go to church that say they love Jesus and they look like, I don't know, death warmed over. They look horrible. They look sad. They look like a giraffe with a sore throat. I mean, they look horrible. You say, is that what obeying Jesus is all about? No. Listen, young person, obeying Jesus 20 years from now starts with you obeying Jesus today. Doing what God wants when you're older because he owns you starts with you making a choice tonight to say, I'll obey Jesus because Jesus owns me. Do you know what obeying Jesus means right now, today? It means obeying dad and mom. If you can't obey dad and mom now, why would you obey God later? It means walking with God by reading your Bible. It means choosing to do what's right, whether the lights are on or whether it's dark. It means when friends say, do this, and you know God says no, you choose no. You say, why would I make those decisions? Because the God who made you loved you enough to send his son Jesus to die for you. And if he made you, he wants to be your Savior. And if he's rescued you, he also owns you. Listen, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I have done sometimes what I want to do. And other times I have done what Jesus says do. And I can tell you this, only one way is worth living. Only following Jesus is worth it. I have young people just like you ask me all across the country, Mr. Glenn, wouldn't you rather do something else than travel, live in an RV, and preach? No. You say, why not? Because it's what God wants me to do. And I don't know if God wants you to do that, but I do know when you simply choose to obey God, even starting tonight, you won't want to do anything else. You know, let's finish tonight by asking this. Don't answer out loud. Who made you? You know, if you live for you, and you choose to make you happy, and you choose to do what you want, I would guess that maybe you made you. But if God made you, he's your maker, he wants to be your savior, and he wants to be your owner. So, tonight, who made you? And who controls you? Heads